Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Happy World Cup Eve, everybody. Welcome to Lions Watch, the Football Ramble's regular look at what's going on with the England men's football team. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
It's the final show before the World Cup. So today, we'll be hearing what you think England's expectations should be for the upcoming tournament. And we'll also be working through England's potential World Cup route and trying to determine just how far Gareth Southgate's boys can go in Qatar.
Well, that was the worst performance I've ever seen from an England team, ever. We were totally hopeless for 90 minutes.
It's another wretched night for England at a major tournament.
And did you also miss a left-footed player down the left side?
Yeah, but where is that player?
How are we going to win this tournament as England?
And England win on penalties!
A semi-final won by England.
Big Lukey Moore, it's the last one before the action happens.
Yes, it is. And how quickly it's come around. And I can't believe we're on our final episode of Lions Watch, Marcus. It's been an emotional journey. Mostly for our listeners.
Yeah.
And that emotion has mostly been anger.
Yeah.
But some of the emotion has been positive as well.
Yes.
And I've really enjoyed it. I love these deep dives into England. Mm. It's a really interesting thing for me. So I'm pleased I got to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But now the business starts. The talking stops.
Yes.
And the business starts. And what's going to be the nature of that business, Marcus, for Gareth Scang?
That is the question indeed. I tell you what, I've obviously... It's a controversial World Cup. You know, we talked about that and we will continue to talk about that. But it is a World Cup, so there's obviously a bit of excitement. And I have enjoyed the England fans getting to Qatar early and giving us a bit of sing-song. I'm sure you've all seen it. We've seen a different melody for It's Coming Home.
Yeah.
With those definite diehard England fans. And if you haven't seen that, there has been reports that Qatar have been... hiring fans from South Asia to come over and get the tournament going. I mean, whether that's true or not, I think England should hire these lads for future tournaments anyway, because have you ever seen more wholesome and good-natured England fans?
No, and I've also really enjoyed some of their lyrics to some of their songs. I instantly liked them more than the existing England fan base, even though I'm a part of that fan base.
Yeah.
And I think it's exactly what we need. I've got no problem with it whatsoever.
No, I was gonna say.
There was no England band, which was good. They didn't seem to be off their face on cheap pub Coke, which is also great.
Yeah.
So there's loads of positives to draw from it.
Yeah.
More of it, please. A
couple
say.
Of new chants. Sterling is our superstar. Boom, boom, yeah. Boom. Yeah. Gareth Southgate, super coach. Boom, boom, boom.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's actually good. It's much better than fucking endless drivel about to the approximate tune of fucking Sloop John B and some terrible rendition of a 30-year-old song that Germany sings ironically about us anyway. Fucking Gareth Southgate, super coach. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. I'm all about that life. Everyone should be. It's great.
It's all happening. He's all going off.
For want of a better phrase, if the kind of traditional, authentic England fan base have anything about them whatsoever, they will adopt that Gareth Southgate chant straight away, because it'll be so good.
Totally.
It'll be brilliant.
I couldn't agree more. So, to the England camp itself.
Yeah, what's the latest news?
Well, England, they opted to train during the hottest part of the day in Qatar the other day.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Get that out of the way. Don't worry, lads. We won't have to do that.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah.
Just like they're lying in a dark room. Covered in ice, mainlining dioralite.
Belgium won't be doing that. Kevin De Bruyne will get sunstroke.
He would. De Bruyne's going to be doing all the training with one of those umbrella hats.
Yeah. I worry about Jordan Pickford.
Yeah. Well, so do I. I saw him play for Everton last week.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so they did.
I love how you tried to spin that on Monday, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. He's just getting out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Have a little error in your mock driving test. Speller, that's poor even for you.
I'm trying. I'm really trying. Jordan Pickford, super keeper. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. So England, they were playing in temperatures around 33 degrees because it's winter there. You see, that's why it's cooler. Connor Cody said that England won't be affected by the conditions. He said, well, I won't be playing, so I won't be affected at all. No, he said, it was something we needed as a team to get used to feel it, to understand it. It's tough, of course. It's tough, but we're professional players. We understand what we're doing, and training this morning was fantastic. We're going out there to embrace it, to enjoy everything that comes with it. Listen, we don't get the sun too often back home, so let's enjoy it. Now, there's a man who is really hoping that doesn't happen again.
Connor's a big part of the squad. We know that.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, those of us who've just lived through the summer we had in England would say that actually climate change suggests that maybe actually we are going to start to become more equipped for dealing with summer tournaments.
Sadly.
But one of the reports I got, I know quite a few people doing different jobs over in Qatar for the World Cup, and a few people are actually going there in their own leisure time as well. And one of the things I heard from one of my friends, one of my colleagues in, I suppose, the football media, is that the air conditioning capacity in the stadiums, or the stadiums that this person I know had been to rehearse at, said that the air conditioning at the side of the pitch, in that immediate bit between the pitch, if you like, and the stadium, is actually very fierce. But as soon as you get... Because that's ultimately you're trying to air condition something that's not enclosed, and it's so big anyway.
Yeah.
As soon as you get 3 or 4 meters away from it, you can't feel it at all.
Well,
so,
think of the energy bill as well.
Well, the energy bill is going to be gigantic. I mean, listen, it's Qatar, so I mean, the energy bill is going to be gigantic anyway. But the point I was just going to make was that if you look at the times of some of these games, could become a real problem for England. But of course, you know, it's going to be a problem for everyone. I don't necessarily buy into the idea that, you know, just because, I don't know, Bruno Fernandes is, you know, Bruno Fernandes has been living in Manchester for the last, like, however many years. Yes. So he's gonna fine, there might be a kind of slight change here, but I don't know if it's going to be that much of a
factor. That'll come back to bite him on the arse, is what you're saying.
Well, already has done. You see how he greeted Ronaldo?
Yeah, DJ. Well, I mean, Qatar is 3 hours ahead of us in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And England's earliest kickoff is against Iran, of course, on Monday, which is 1 p.m. here, and it'll be 4 p.m. over there. So we'll be a bit warm, but it won't be. It will be, hopefully, the warmest part of the day will have subsided a little bit by then. But then after that, England's games will be, you know, games will be, say, maybe like at 10 in the evening there, or could be 7 in the evening, could be 6, you know, early evening. So it might not be as bad. So hopefully they'll do okay. But I mean, you know, this is something that any side from, you know, a cold nation is going to have to deal with. With regards to the England squad itself, I have enjoyed a lot of the social media content from some of the England players. James Maddison in particular, releasing photos of him as a very, very young man. And in fact, let's call him a child.
Yeah, a very, very, very young man. He was only eight. An eight-year-old man. Yeah.
I mean, this was a little while ago when he made the squad, but it was absolutely delightful. Now, he missed training for the last couple of days with a knee injury, but it's not thought to be a major issue. That would be a stinker, wouldn't it? But do you know what, though? Thinking about old brother Brendy, when he said, you know, Maddison could be an important player for England, and all the other pundits saying, oh, he should be in there. Now that he's in the squad, I do think to myself, I'd like him to get some game time. Having been a little bit damp on Maddison before, going, ah, well, the way England play, I'm not really too sure. That now he's in there, I'm thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind to see the young man get some minutes.
Why are you always like this?
Yeah, I'm just a bit giddy. I think, again, as soon as I heard James Maddison is our super winger, boom, 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 I thought, I'm into this.
If you look at the fact that form is going to be really important for the obvious scheduling reasons of this World Cup, and you look at the England players that are actually in form, I would tentatively suggest, with the full expectation that you will disavow me of this, but is that there's probably only five players that you could say that are properly in form. Trippier,
yep.
Maddison, Kane, Foden and Saka.
And Wilson.
Wilson's a good one. That's six then. But Wilson's not going to play, probably.
Yeah.
So five players that are, you know.
You're not putting Maguire in there.
I'm definitely not putting Harry Maguire in there, no. And the reason, I'll tell you for why.
Go on.
Because the website I use to hear this. The website I use to either back up my opinions or get me to change my opinions, depending on what it is. Has a list of players and the kind of form that they think the players have been in. And I ran out of scrolling through pages before Harry Maguire even appeared. So I'm going to say I'm not necessarily going to include Harry Maguire in there, no.
Okay.
So Maddison could play a part, I guess is what I'm getting at. Maddison could be someone who, and this does happen sometimes, England struggled to beat Iran, for example. Yeah. And I said on the show yesterday, on the Ramble show yesterday, that best thing that can happen for England, given the scheduling of the group, given who they've got to play, a goal early against Iran, I think they'll be away. Iran are going to try and make it difficult.
We thought that against Iceland, remember?
We did. It didn't work. They weren't in our group markers, so that's a slightly different analogy. But we spoke to our Iranian friend, didn't we? Seen her last week. Yeah, and he said that Iran are going to make it difficult. We expect that. The way it could work for Maddison, and I think the way Maddison's going to hope it works, he probably won't tell anyone this because he'll want to be a part of the team and a part of the squad and be a team player. He is going to hope England get to 60 minutes in 0-0 against Iran and he gets called upon and he makes a difference. If he does that, he's got a chance of forcing his way in and having a really good tournament. Yeah. And that's what he's got to hope for.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And I think that Maddison, you know, we know that Southgate likes the wingers to kind of help out a little bit defensively and be a bit more aware of all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure Southgate would maybe trust Maddison with that. But other than that, I mean, okay, so this is interesting. So James Maddison, who we've been talking about, his squad number is number 25
Yeah.
Conor Gallagher is number 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is it. The squad numbers have been released. Do you think there's anything in this? Because Harry Maguire's number 6. That's not too surprising. Jack Grealish is number 7. Henderson's number 8. Rashford, number 11. Jude Bellingham, number 22. So given those numbers, I would say that they're not that indicative of what Southgate may do. However, I just want to know, I mean, do you think that he's trying to, you know, he's trying to do a bit of a puzzle for people there? Because Jude Bellingham, you would think, would start or play a big part in this, is number 22. So it can't be that important.
I don't think it matters. I think you wouldn't want to give any team you're playing
mm-hmm.
that transparent a clue as to what you're going to do. That would be, I mean, it'd just be page one stuff. It'd be absolutely stupid to do that.
Do you remember the in the history books when Hungary beat England that time 6-3? One of the reasons they confused England was
because they had different shirt numbers on.
Different shirt numbers. Yeah. I don't know whether that was planned or not, but they were like, "Well, he's wearing that number, and they're usually an outside right." Well, I went with him. You know.
Yeah.
Are we going for that?
I hope not. I hope that that's not going to be something that confuses her. There was a lot of information coming out the last few days about Jude Bellingham and why he's got the number he's got and all what it means and the significance of it. And I think those significant aspects of it were entirely personal to him.
Okay.
I don't think this is a part of it at all. I think, you know, if you look at, I don't know, do you remember when Gascoigne was lit up the 1990 World Cup? Wasn't
17.
He wearing number 23? Or 17, that's it, yeah, 17. And so, you know, it just it never goes how it goes anyway. I mean, it's complete arbitrary. If Harry Maguire you know, turns his ankle this afternoon and so therefore can't be available for selection in the first game, then we have a completely... They're not going to change the number around. He's just going to be 6 and he's going to be sat on the bench. That's just how it's going to be. So to me, it's something for those content providers out there, of which we are too, to talk about, and which we have done. But I don't think it's hugely significant.
Okay, well, the man wearing number 2 in the squad will be Kyle Walker. Kieran Trippier will be wearing number 12, so he also has a 2 in there. Kyle Walker has been in England, he's been in the training, but he's thought to be a miss for the Iran game. It's unlikely. He says he's targeting the USA game after that. Now, this begs the question, will Southgate, because Southgate tends to like the back three against the better opponents you think could cause England a lot of problems. With respect to Iran, England will look to be on the front foot in that game. Could play a back four. Now, if they do, you would imagine he would play Trippier at right back. Poses the problem, Luke. If Trippier has a great game, and you said, right enough, he's been in great form. What happens then against the US? Does he think, well, actually, you know, it could cause a bit of a selection headache?
Yeah, I think it depends. I think it depends on what they need. I think Trippier is going to be a backup left back as well, right? So there may be a problem he needs to solve over the other side, depending on how that goes.
Don't know how Luke Shaw plays.
Yeah, exactly. I literally heard a rumor today that England are going to play with a back three against Iran as well. I was disappointed to hear, because I think that's, to me, I am one of those people that feels like that's an overly cautious way of playing.
But is it a Sheffield United just promoted into the Premier League style back three?
Well, we've got Chris Wilder on. I mean, is he...
Is that the big reveal?
Yeah.
Don't worry, lads.
I've been taking
advice from Chris Wilder.
Gareth Southgate's known for being so attacking, he uses overlapping centre-backs in the air. That's definitely what he tells them to do. Harry, get up there. No. I believe that, and I think anyone who's watched his teams over these last years, as I'm sure we all have, I believe, as I'm sure you do, that Gareth Southgate thinks the biggest and easiest path to success is to be solid as you can.
Okay.
And I think he just thinks, we'll beat Iran anyway. We need to get solid and comfortable in this shape. We've not had a great run in the build-up to the tournament. We need to continue that process. I'm not going to tear it up and start with the four. Now, I know he thinks that, like, the four at the back is the backup formation that he could use. And, of course, we have seen him use it. But if he starts with a back three against Iran, then we're in for a quite boring ride, I think.
Do you reckon? Would that worry you if we...
Well, it means that we'd probably go further. I just don't see, there's no real precedent that I can think of in recent times where a team who's thought, right, we're going to go blow for blow, we're going to go, we'll have a go, you have a go, have done that well. And I think he kind of knows that. So,
So with all the players in the England squad, and you know, besides formations and da da da, who are you looking forward to seeing the most, and who would you, or who are you hoping to see the most? Might be a better question as well, because it is a World Cup. You know, despite we may think, oh, back three, it might be a bit sort of doom and gloom. You want to see certain players for England. You want to see them express themselves.
Bellingham.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
Bellingham's my one. I think I'm sure many people listening would agree. Bellingham is the player that I'm most looking forward to seeing in action. I think if he can really get the games by the scruff of the neck and really do what he's capable of,
yeah,
I think the sky's the limit for him. And if it goes well for England, it's probably going to go well for Bellingham. I think he's probably a pretty good bellwether because he is someone who's now ready to take that step onto the world stage. I'm obviously not denigrating what he's done already. I'm not trying to criticise Borussia Dortmund at all, because obviously they're a massive team and he's been brilliant for them.
Yeah.
But I think this is a whole new level of exposure, and I think he's ready to take the step. And I've just thought there is one player that the squad number does matter for, and I forgot to mention it. And do you know who that is?
Who's that?
Jordan Pickford.
Jordan bloody Pickford.
He's got the number one shirt, and for goalkeepers, that means a hell of a lot still, and he'll be happy to have that.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a little Brazilian man who thinks that Jadon Sancho should have been given a squad number, Luke Moore. Do you see what Neymar's been saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which one Neymar was.
I think one of the Brazilians, I think.
I'm obviously joking, but they've got so many attacking riches, Brazil, that it's, you know, if it's not going to be Neymar, it'll be one of about 16 other players that can hurt England if they play them.
He was one of the players who managed to avoid that 7-1 defeat by Germany.
Yeah, well, I found it really interesting that Neymar came out in the press when asked and said that he thought that Jadon Sancho was a surprising miss from the England squad for two reasons. One, because it's interesting to see what, you know, really great, genuinely great attacking players look for in other players. And secondly, because he's just doesn't watch Man United. And I thought he might do. Thought Man United would take that as a dig, because there's no way Neymar has watched anything of Jadon Sancho in recent months. And I cannot believe he's in there.
Yeah, there we are. Good old Neymar. Right, everybody, we're going to have a quick break, and after which we're going to ramp up the heat. See you in a moment.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to Lions Watch, everybody. Right, now this is the time of the show we usually treat our listeners to the take thermometer.
Yes.
But as it's the final show of the run, it's time to hand the takes over to us and you, the good listeners. No more will we laugh at other people's takes. The takes are now coming home to roost.
That's exciting.
Yeah, well.
Oh, good.
This week we want to know, as England fans, what should our expectations be for the World Cup? But perhaps it's best to start with something a touch more specific for you, Luke.
Okay.
Do you think England need to win the World Cup for this to be a successful tournament, or can success be defined another way?
That is a really good question, and that's a really nice way to start before we pour through all the nonsense that our listeners got in touch with. I'm just kidding. I don't know if you remember, but maybe 9 months or so ago, I think we were in the studio, me, you and Andy, and I said to Andy and you that it's time for England to go now. It's time for them to move. It's time for them to do it.
Yeah.
And you weren't quite as negative about that as Andy was. And Andy said, no, look at what Germany did. They built and built and built, and finally they got there. And so what I'm trying to say is that some people think it's not about that thing. It's about, you know, having the processes, having the building involved, and sooner or later, I guess what the understanding is, or the opinion is that the results take care of themselves. Now, I get that in club football. I can see why the processes of a Guardiola or even an Arteta are there in place, and then the results almost come secondarily, because they're saying, if you do this will happen.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you see coaches who will have won games, but they're not actually that happy because they're not. I don't think the teams have kind of, you know, executed properly or whatever.
Yeah.
The way it falls down is when you go into something like a World Cup. I think World Cup, you need to have a good amount of luck on your side. You need to be defensively very solid. Mm-hmm. And you have to acknowledge there's loads of aspects of the World Cup you're not going to be in control of. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be able to know who you're going to play in the quarterfinal, because as we normally see, for example, the results just don't go the way, and you've got no control over them, because it's to do with a game between like Denmark and Poland somewhere else. There's nothing you can do about it. So that's a long run up to my answer. So on one hand, I think no, they don't, but I do think the way the world is means that probably if they don't, I can't think of a convincing outcome that means that Southgate stays where he is and that we don't look for a freshening up of it. Because, and I'll tell you why, if they bomb out in the group, obviously it's done, he'll go. If they get to, say, the quarterfinal or the semi-final, or even get beaten in the final, I think the narrative from the mainstream media, which will inform a lot of what the fans think, will be, here we go again, very close, but didn't make it. And so we've got to have a change.
I think it depends on the manner. If England were to beat a couple of the big boys on the way to, say, the final, and then lost gallantly in the final or something, I think people go, well, you know, fair enough. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
You really? Even after the Euros?
Yeah, because I think the criticism of Southgate's team is whenever they come up against a side who is equal or better than them, they don't do it. And that has been the case in the three tournaments. Yes, I am including the UEFA Nations League in 2019 in that. And I think that if England were to... So, for example, Alan Shearer said recently that England will go out in the quarterfinal to France.
Right.
If England were to beat France, for example, in a quarterfinal, if England were to get there and France were to get there, blah blah blah, caveat, and England were to win that game, and then England played, say, Germany or Spain in the semi-final, and they won that, and then they lost to Brazil narrowly in the final, I think we'd be gutted, but I think people would say, bloody hell, lads, what a great
effort. So you would define that as success, which was the original question?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. All right, well, that's interesting. Let's get on to some of our listener answers, because we said we're going to hand the takes over to our listeners, and then we'll do ourselves at the end, I suppose. So we put a question out along similar lines for our listeners. What should expectations be for the World Cup? I'll just go for a couple of the markers and get your takes on them. Elliot got in touch saying, just don't be embarrassing, that's all I ask. Work hard, win a few games, and get knocked out in the quarters by a better team. Job done.
Yeah, that's job done. That is very much a golden generation early noughties take, that is.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think realistically, if you were into any job, you worked in a shop or whatever, set fire to the place, had to evacuate every single customer and burnt the entire shop down and then just went job done. I don't think it's job done.
I don't think that's a great analogy. I think it's more if you were a financial expert and you got or you were involved in any kind of area high up in finance and you went, yeah, no, get me in. When the good times are good, absolutely. As soon as there's a sniff of a recession, I'm chucking it all in. I'm useless. Bomb the economy. Job done. I think that's what it would be. Hauntingly relevant.
CJ also said England should expect quarterfinals. They're capable of going a couple of steps further than the last eight, but you have to say quarterfinals will be a par performance given the squad we have and the likely route after the group stages. Joe says, I'd like to just have a marquee result against a big side, perhaps tapping into what you were saying earlier, Marcus. Yeah. I just dread what Mbappe and Benzema might do to our defence, though.
That is can't a worry.
Really, yeah, can't really see how the draw could open up like it has in the last two tournaments. Joe, stick with us because I'm going to show you how the draw could open up for England. I genuinely am a bit later on. Russ says semis would be a huge success, but quarters a failure. So kind of in between the two. And then Joe, another Joe presumably, says semi-finals minimum. So look, the point I'm making here is that I took some example tweets and I tried to make them as typical as the responses we got because, of course, we've got a load more responses than that.
Yeah.
And what generally came out is England are expected by their fan base on our social media to roughly get to around the quarterfinal. Now, I'll shore that up by saying that I did a really quick flash poll on Twitter as well ahead of the recording.
Yeah.
And I gave people, I just said, how far will England go? And I gave people the options. I gave them group stage.
Hmm.
I gave them second round or quarterfinal, semi-final or final, and winners, because you only get four options on Twitter.
Yeah.
And 61.6%, way more all the other options put together, came out at second round quarterfinal.
Really?
So it's an unscientific thing, but what I'm saying is, as far as we can tell, as much information as we can glean from our listenership in this quite crude way, people are thinking that quarterfinal is par because they had an option to go second round or quarterfinal, and some other people have talked about the semifinal. So roughly in the middle is quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
That's where England would get to.
All right.
I'll bring you in, but before I do, I'll just say that's exactly where I got to in my example bracket that I did.
Really?
So I think, yeah, quarterfinal is roughly par among English supporting listeners to our show.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, it's no disgrace to get to a quarterfinal. I understand, again, the manner of it and so on, but you're in the last eight of the World Cup, and it goes back to your early point of it's a one-off game. And in a one-off game against France, England will be second favourites for the majority of people. Everyone, let's Uri Geller this and get all our energy behind it. The curse of the World Cup winner. Let's see France go out in the first round.
I'm not that bothered about France, and I think there's a chance they could implode. I think there's every chance.
First round exit, as is the custom?
Possibly. I think you look at the group they've got, I think it's possible.
Do they have a super coach?
Boom, boom, boom. I think they have. And what's he ever done? And I want to just find a way of tying this all the way back to the original question that you asked me about: is it not a success if England don't win? I think the time is now. The time is the time to move. It's a really odd set of circumstances. It's an odd World Cup, beset with problems, and we don't want to bore our listeners to death. But people couldn't be confident that we've covered that. And so there's a chance, and England now need to be in a position where it looks like the build-up has been not ideal, but there's loads of teams whose build-up's been crap and they've done okay. You know, that's not necessarily that indicative. And we've got a good balance of exciting young players and experienced, like, senior pros that have done it at the very highest level. All the things are there for them. And if you're worried about all these other teams, and I am worried, particularly about Brazil and Argentina, I think they're the two biggest dangers, but you're never going to get into a World Cup and not have other good teams in it. It just doesn't happen. So,
well, people are talking about it being a very open tournament, this one.
It is open. It is open. For me, if you believe in the fact that stuff like this goes in cycles, which I do, I think the time is now for England. But I personally don't think they will do it. Mm-hmm. But I think that the time is now to do it. And I think anything short of it has to be seen as a kind of, we will look back on this Southgate era, because he'll almost certainly go if he's not done really, really well. And we'll go, that was great, but there's a missed opportunity because you got to a final and you lost on penalties. You got to a semi-final. You probably should have gone further. And then whatever happens in Qatar. So it's open for our listeners to be rejoicing and be celebrating, but they don't think England are going to do that well.
Well, the FA years ago, talking about building, they tried to have a little look at what Germany had done, and they marked the 2022 World Cup as the tournament for England to win.
Yeah,
and obviously Southgate came in and was nearly ahead of schedule in the Euros. But I mean, you know, England finished fourth at Russia, third at the Nations League, second at the Euros. It just makes sense.
Now's the time, right? Back in the one, so
he signposted it for us all.
So Marcus, tell me how you had England getting on and where you had them getting to.
I mean, for the record, I hate doing this.
Well,
I don't know why,
because I made you do it.
I know you did. Yeah. So I've got England to win their group. That would be my prediction. Mm-hmm. And I think the Netherlands bloody well should and will win that group. You have to caveat this by saying that it never ever plays out the way we think.
It doesn't, but I had the same. And it may, and just because it doesn't play out as you expect elsewhere, it may play out as you expect in Group A and B.
Sure. Yeah. When we say it doesn't play out as you'd expect, but it doesn't mean to say that all the seeded teams go out in the first round. You know, most of them traditionally go through.
Yeah.
So I think England will probably play Senegal in the second round. And I think from England's point of view, Senegal are a good side. They're the African champions. Sadio Mane is going to miss the tournament, which is a great, great shame for him and them. And for everybody, really. You want to see the best players at the tournament. It is gutting.
Yeah.
But I think England, you know, England would be favourites for that game. I think England would win that game. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky and a little bit tasty. So I do think France will win their group. I think they will break the sort of so-called curse of which they succumbed to back in 2002, although Brazil didn't in 2006 as the only anomaly there. And I think France will play England in that quarterfinal. I actually think that England could win that game. And I think that Southgate...
That is a tasty tamale, that. What a tasty burrito you're serving up there. A seven-pot doogler, that. That is a Carolina Reaper of a tale.
You're having that one, yeah.
So England to beat France in the quarterfinal.
I think that may happen. But you can't
keep a good man down, ladies and gentlemen. the spirits will not be dampened in that part of Southwest London.
Super speller, boom, boom, boom. So I think England could do it. And I think that they would either meet Germany, Spain, or Belgium in that game. And I think it might be Germany. Either way, the problem is with World Cups, you actually do need a kind draw. If you look at teams who have won it, you look at any team, they actually don't play four box office nations on the way to winning the tournament. Apparently, statistics showed recently that the 2006 World Cup, Italy's 2006 World Cup win, was the hardest statistically.
Right.
They played Australia in the second round. They played Ukraine in the quarterfinal. It was a good Ukraine side, but they did win 3-0. Then they played the host Germany, and I think the fact that they were the host was taken into account. And then they played France in the final.
Yeah.
That apparently was the hardest run.
Who did you have England to meet in the semi? I know you gave us some options.
So you have to put something down. I've put Germany because I think Spain might win the group, and I've got England to lose that game.
Okay, so you have England to go out to Germany in the semis.
Because the reason why I've got that, again, I hate doing this, but I've, you know, in the spirit of things,
it's a bit of fun.
I just think that you'd have to play your socks off in both games, and I looked at Germany's potential route. And I think they would play Belgium in the second round, and I had them to beat Belgium. And then they would play Switzerland. And Switzerland, I think, are a good side. But I think Germany, psychologically, would have the edge there, and I think they're a better side, and they would beat them. And I think going into that semi-final, I just think to raise your game, to go that a bit higher, for two games on the trot, I think
Okay, so then who did you have to win overall? Just quite quickly.
Brazil.
Interesting.
Because if you're asking England to beat France, Germany, then Brazil on the way to winning the cup, I think it's too much.
Fine. That's fair. I think that's entirely fair.
What have you got yourself?
So I kind of started off very similarly to you. I totally take your point about the groups not always going as you think they are. They will. I still had Netherlands winning Group A and I had England winning Group B.
Yeah.
I do think there's a chance that England could find it really tough and go out in the group stage, but that's a certain timeline that I've taught myself in my head, which really depends on how they get on against Iran.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm trying to remove myself and being really objective, I don't think in all good conscience you can say England wouldn't beat Iran.
Well, that's the difficulty, because there will be the people listening to this going, oh, bloody get a load of you. Oh, England off to the, in the semi-final. To be objective about a side who...
I don't care about them.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's the difference between...
There we go.
Yeah. So I had England to win the group, and I had Netherlands to win the group. Now, I've got it all in front of me, so if you've got any questions about how I got to where I got to, then shout.
The spanner in the work is with, could Denmark win the group against
France? Well, I have Denmark winning that group.
Right.
And I'm going to talk to you about how that means the group opens up, because when I mentioned that earlier, when we asked some of our listeners to have their takes, a lot of whom had complained about our take thermometer, and the reason I worked out that they complained about the take thermometer is because all their opinions are really boring.
Yeah.
Because they all think quarter final, which is the most boring answer ever. Apologies if you listen to this and you had a big take. I removed that for selfish reasons to make that really petty point about Lions Watch in the recent weeks. So anyway, England in the second round, as far as I work out, play Senegal too. So I'm on the same camp as you there.
Yeah.
I think England will beat Senegal. I think realistically, I think they've got a really, really good chance of beating Senegal. I don't think they're a team now full of players who are just completely beset by disappointment in knockout games for England. And I think that matters a great deal. So psychologically, I think they'll be able to rely on the fact that they're, in my opinion, a better team than Senegal.
Oh, like 8 to 10 years ago, you wouldn't be confident with England going into that game.
So then, interestingly, when we move into the quarterfinal, my quarterfinal lineup broadly is a really, really good one. So I had Netherlands, Argentina in the quarterfinal.
That's a lovely game.
Because Argentina, I had to beat France, and I had Netherlands to beat Wales.
Uh-huh.
The other quarterfinal in the top half of the draw, I had Germany against Brazil.
Okay, see, I went for Spain to top the group, but yeah, I see what
fine. You're doing. So I had Germany beating Canada in the second round, Brazil beating Ghana in the second round.
Mm.
I then had Poland to nick it against Denmark.
Ooh.
Although I do think that Denmark have every chance of beating Poland in the second round, and that the winner of that game, of course, plays England.
Mm-hmm.
So for want of people,
Denmark have got a very good side.
They have, and I think if I could go back again, I probably would give Denmark the edge there, and I'd have England playing Denmark in the second round. But as it stands, in the quarterfinal. But as it stands, I've got England versus Poland, and the other quarterfinal I had Spain versus Switzerland. Now, I had England to beat Poland. I also think they would beat Denmark, which then leaves us a semi-final. I had a semi-final lap of Argentina, Brazil, and England against Spain. I had England to lose in the semi-final as well, but I had Spain to beat them instead of Germany, and I had Argentina to win the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think Spain would be a side that I would really want to avoid because they keep the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
And England...
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, I mean, I know you're being partly facetious there, but if we game that out, I'm on record here as saying I think Spain, if England and Spain meet in the semi-final, I think Spain will win. So I'm not trying to be... overly patriotic about it or jingoistic about it or anything like that. I do think Spain would beat England. But if I was going to make an argument for England to beat Spain, I would probably say, well, let them have the ball.
Yeah.
If England can build into the tournament and start to defend a bit better than we've seen recently, but in a way they have defended well in recent tournaments, very, very miserly in defence in the Euros, they could be really tailor-made to beat Spain because Spain would... be hit on the break whenever England got the ball, when England have got the players and the pace to do that if they were positive enough. So it could happen. But I think Spain will beat England in the semi-final, and I think Argentina will win the whole thing. And I think the overriding message and photo and imagery of that World Cup will be Messi crowning his career, holding that World Cup aloft and finally emulating what Maradona did.
Really? That would be quite something. Well, I want to finish, though, with a message we got on Twitter from Samuel.
Yeah.
Who said, if you think after all the disappointments, I'll be thinking England are going to win the World Cup again, then you're fucking right I am. Come on, England!
That's the only way to end. That is the only way to end. Thanks for sticking with us throughout these last 8 weeks, Marcus, right?
Yeah.
The listeners have been great. We really appreciate it.
It's been absolutely marvellous.
I know I've given them a bit back, but it's all in good jest, and we do really appreciate the support. So thank you for listening. Marcus and I particularly really love doing this show, and it's great that the team indulges us and let us just get on with it. I mean, in many ways, they've said, if you want to do it, you just do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've said, okay, we will.
Yeah, we'll leave the door open for you.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah, but thank you very much. As Luke says, it's been an absolute pleasure. Don't worry, though. We'll be back on Monday for the start of our Ramble World Cup coverage. Come on. There will be an episode for you at 5 a.m. on Monday morning, reacting to Qatar versus Ecuador, the big one, and also previewing England's all-important opening match against Iran. But before that, the final part of Kate Mason's documentary Inside the Qatar World Cup will be on your podcast feeds tomorrow. That's Sunday, of course. You should definitely check that out. Kate went to Qatar to find out more about the real stories on the ground in the country that is about to host, of course, this World Cup. We're also releasing daily pods throughout the tournament, so make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. It is going to be a big old football feast, and you are invited to take lots and lots of big bites.
Yes, you're the main guest. You're at the top table on the dais. Everyone's cheering you, raising their glasses of mead to you. Throughout the World Cup as the listeners, so do join us. We love having your company. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on I'll see you tomorrow, in fact.
Shall do. Laura love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.